Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
For all their beautiful and poetic expressions, the Psalms in great detail and richness reveal Christ in many aspects. At times, he's revealed in prophetic passages, but at other times, Christ is directly spoken of by the psalmists. Take, for example, the passage in Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you endure. Indeed, all of them will wear out like a garment. Like clothing you will change them, and they will be changed. Well, apparently these are the words of the psalmist in his affliction, as he pours out his heart and anguish directly to God concerning the devastation of God's house and God's city. But as this passage is quoted in Hebrews concerning Christ, we have to conclude that the psalmist speaking in this psalm is really his revelation of Christ himself. What vistas this realization opens to us in our life study of this marvelous book. Bob Danker has joined us again. Bob, we come to, a passage that is somewhat well-known, but probably not in its full context. And I say well-known by New Testament readers of the Bible, because as we pointed out, it's quoted here in Hebrews. But it's the context, I think, that will really enrich this portion today, don't you think?
I agree, Chris. The wonderful thing about the Psalms is all these marvelous utterances that seem to come out almost of nowhere,
right,
concerning Christ and concerning Zion and the house of God and the city of God, Jerusalem. All these things have great significance for us in the New Testament age. Everything in the Old Testament we know was a type of the reality in the New Testament. So to find these verses here in Psalm 102 that Paul quoted in Hebrews chapter 1 concerning the Son of God,
yeah,
is truly marvelous, in that it shows us that Psalm 102 is a psalm related to Christ.
You've got the psalmist, as we pointed out here, he's full of anguish. He, in a sense, and we'll hear Witness Lee refer to his kind of prayer as his kind of complaining, but not a bad complaining. I mean, a kind of a complaining that, God, you know, look at this situation. How could this be? This is your house. This is your holy city. You know, in a sense, we need to be such complainers, don't we?
Absolutely. I believe God would be very happy to have many of his children on the earth who are so concerned for his interests that they bring to him this kind of complaint. Lord, look at the situation. It's not what you want it to be. Do something for your interests on the earth.
Okay, today we're going to look at Psalm 102, but not in isolation. It's actually part of a group of 5 psalms, 102 through 106. But 102 is quite different than the other 4. The other 4, as we will see as the program develops, have a certain characteristic, but 102 forms the foundation for the other 4, and this is the psalm that is all about this devastation, this degradation, this destruction that has come upon God's house and God's holy city, Jerusalem, or as it's all referred to here as Zion, really a type of the church in the Old Testament. And this psalmist touches God's heart because he is concerned for what God is concerned for. Bob, we mentioned it's quoted, this passage in 102 is quoted in Hebrews. Let's go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12. And you in the beginning, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain perpetually. and they all will become old like a garment, and like a mantle you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail." Wonderful speaking. And as you said, the Apostle Paul clearly sees Christ in these passages, these words from the Old Testament Psalms.
Marvelous.
It is. Here's Witness Lee with our first portion.
We are coming to a group of Psalms, which is somewhat hard to understand. We have to remember the Psalms were written by the godly saints. When they wrote the Psalms, mostly they wrote at the time of their sufferings. Have you noticed? When the psalmists are expressing some of their feelings concerning sufferings because they are so godly, out of a sudden, from their handwriting, some high thought came out quite often. If you would pay attention to, you could see most of the high thoughts are related to Christ, God's house, God's city, and the coming restoration. These four things are just the inner essences of the Bible. Christ, God's house, God's city, and God's city means God's kingdom with the restoration, the coming restoration that refers to the millennium. Psalm 102, in the prayer of an afflicted saint, and there the devastation of them with the temple and the city. This one is a godly one. He suffered of the destruction, devastation of Zion, of the temple and the holy city. He suffered. So he prayed. Then he composed this prayer as a psalm in three sections. The first section is on the suffering. The second section of the psalm presents us a picture of the restoration of the devastated and destroyed temple and Jerusalem. And this rebuilding turns the world, the entire earth, all the peoples with all the nations to the Lord. Then the third section unveils to us the Lord is the one who is everlasting in his resurrection. In Revelation chapter 1, he says, he died and he lives, and he will live forever. He will exist forever and ever in his resurrection.
Bob, there's an utterance of Witness Lee in this message where he says, this psalm, if we see it, is full of deep and hidden things. And we just touched a couple of them. You know, we have these four inner essences of the Bible revealed. Then we have these three marvelous sections of this psalm, culminating with this revelation of Christ and his eternal existence. So I just leave it to you to touch them as you're kind of inspired.
Well, Chris, this was a marvelous overview of this whole psalms. Actually, in many of the psalms, as Witness Lee pointed out, certain higher thoughts come out.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have many prayers of affliction where the psalmist is afflicted, and we all can relate sometimes to that. But then while he is uttering his complaint or his prayer to God, to point out to God his situation, something comes out.
Yeah.
And usually when it comes out, it's related to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Or the house of God,
right.
Or the city of God,
right.
Which signifies the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
Or the coming millennium as a time of restoration.
Wow.
These four things we can find in the Psalms. Actually, we can find them in the Old Testament. We can find them in the New Testament. So Brother Lee calls them the inner essences of the Bible. So these are the intrinsic things that the Bible reveals to us. It reveals to us Christ. It reveals to us the church as the house of God. It reveals to us the church also as the kingdom of God, typified by the city of Jerusalem, and it also reveals to us the coming kingdom age, the age of restoration. So the entire Bible is occupied with these four things. They are the inner essences of the scriptures.
Let's talk for a second, Bob, about this matter of this age of restoration. This will become a theme for the balance of our program today. Interestingly, here in one of these three sections of this psalm, it mentions that it is this restoration that helps turn the whole earth, the nations, back to the Lord, isn't it?
That's right. In the second section of this psalm, from verses 12 through 22, the psalmist begins to speak about God rebuilding the devastated and destroyed Zion. And this is a picture of the building up of the church after it was initially formed and then became degraded.
Oh.
So God will come in, according to the psalmist, to build up Zion. And while he is speaking about the building up of Zion, he speaks about the result of that building up of Zion. That is, that the nations, the Gentiles, will turn to God and will serve God. If we look at some of the prophecies in other books, and we look at also the New Testament, we can see that the time when the nations will turn to God and will become God's servants will be the millennium, the age of the kingdom, the 1,000 years. So we can see from this that it's the building up of Zion that brings in the age of restoration,
right?
The time when all things will be restored, as prophesied by Isaiah and others, and when the nations will serve God and the Jews will be the priests teaching and guiding the nations to worship and to serve God. This is a time that's coming, but what brings this time to us is the building up of the church.
Bob, we surely don't want to lose sight of that. As I said, that becomes a real important theme in the balance of our program. But let's take a look now at not just this Psalm 102, but as I mentioned, these other following four psalms that really have a different characteristic and taste to them, and I think that'll come out in this coming section.
If you do have the insight, you could see Christ's suffering. And Christ's suffering is to redeem us, and his redemption is to produce the house of God.
Amen.
And the seed of God, which will consummate in God's restoration. Then, in Psalm 102, Zion is here. Zion first built, then destroyed, then rebuilt. Then you have the resurrection. And this church is produced by Christ's suffering. Prolonged in Christ's resurrection due to Christ's unchanging existence. Well, this is Psalm 102. Then what are the falling for? The falling for are hallelujah psalms.
Amen.
Not the ending of hallelujahs, but the beginning. In these 150 psalms, the word hallelujah never be used until you get on Psalm 104. And then it says, hallelujah. Then Psalm 105, hallelujah. And then Psalm 106, at the beginning and the end, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
These are psalms that begin, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise ye,
Amen,
the Lord. You have Psalm 102 as a foundation. Then you have to praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How could hallelujah comes out from 102? You need 103, 104, 105, and 106. Without these, you have Psalm 102, but you don't have hallelujah. You have to know how to praise this one who would recover his title and right over the whole earth through Christ's reign.
Well, Bob, what follows this Psalm 102, which recounts these three main things, are these four psalms that Witness Lee says are the hallelujah psalms, where the word hallelujah and this kind of praise is first introduced in the psalms. But there's a reason why we can say hallelujah at this point, isn't there? And it has to do with this eternal existence of Christ and the effect that has restoring God's house.
That's right, Chris. You know, in these verses you read at the beginning, verses 25 through 27, they speak of Christ's eternal existence. And it is in resurrection that Christ, as the Son of God, exists eternally. He is now beyond the realm of death. Death cannot touch him. He exists in his resurrection for eternity. And through his death and in his resurrection, this Christ produced something called the church, which is his body. And this church also is in the resurrection of Christ. That's why the church can never be destroyed. Satan has done his best to destroy the church throughout the centuries, just as he did his best to destroy Jerusalem, the temple, and the Jews, the holy people of God in the Old Testament.
Right.
But because of Christ's eternal existence in his resurrection, the existence of the church is prolonged. It is impossible for the church to be destroyed. This gives God the opportunity in the resurrection of Christ to carry out a recovery work that will issue in the building up of the church. It's the building up of the church that will bring in the age of restoration and will cause everyone everywhere to shout hallelujah. This is a very deep and marvelous revelation here, but we really need to see that because of man's fall, Satan has usurped the earth and taken away God's title and God's right over man on the earth. So now we have a situation in which the nations basically are in rebellion against God, right?
Right.
So God is doing a work today to gain a people for himself. Those people in our age are the church. And through the building up of the church, God will bring in another age, the age of restoration, the age of the millennium, in which all the nations who once rebelled against God will turn to God and will acknowledge him as their Lord and their King. In this way, God will regain his right and his title to the earth and to the people who live on it.
Bob, what we really want to focus on in this last segment now is the importance that the church in its restoration, its recovery, plays in this turning of these rebellious people to the Lord at the end of this age. And it helps all of us as believers to put our own church life experience into a much different context than we tend to sort of fall into in the way we take things pretty much for granted and maybe don't assign much importance to this or that, how we meet, where we meet, what's going on around us really doesn't concern us that much. But I think as we'll see from this coming portion, as God's people, it really must concern us deeply. Here's Witness Lee again.
Psalm 102, verse 6, it says, I lie awake, I watch, I do not sleep, and I cannot sleep. This refers to the affliction of Christ. Probably while the Lord was on this earth, quite often in the night, he went to the housetop to watch, to pray, to take care of God's interest. In his suffering, he was a watcher, not a sleeper. Not for his own interest, but for the interest of God's house. Sorry to say today, so many do know that Christ's death is for redemption, right? Christ's suffering is for redemption. But out of 1,000, you cannot find one that knows Christ's death is to produce the church. You need redemption to produce the church, right? Hallelujah. The church really means something. The whole earth will be turned to God, not only based upon Christ's suffering, but also through them, also through the church. You shouldn't think that what we are doing here is a small thing. You have to believe in the eyes of God. It is not that small. the church was produced out of Christ's death, then it was devastated. And today, we must be such a one, afflicted because of the church's degradation. And the psalmist, the writer of this psalm, was like this. Because of the devastation of Zion, he couldn't sleep, right? We must present our complaint before God. God, where is your Zion? Where is your holy city? Where is the church? But eventually you could see, in our eyes, it's a tragedy. But in God's eyes, God's still present. God has something on this earth. As long as God could have something on this earth, God would be satisfied. Amen. Yes, the church is degraded. But we have to worship God. Still, God today has something on this earth, right? There is a line. That is the Lord's recovery.
Bob, I really pray that the Lord gives us a fitting utterance, because this is a crucial point here, and I give it to you to develop. But let me point out this, at least as we begin this fellowship. He ends up in the last phrase of what we just heard saying, "This is the Lord's recovery." We use this term a lot. Our version of the Bible, or our translation of the Bible with the footnotes, is called the Recovery Version. And I think people who have been listening for any period of time hear this term a lot. And I think here in this portion, we really have it presented and defined in a marvelous way, don't we, through the utterances of the psalmists in Psalm 102.
That's right, Chris. Here the psalmist was in great pain of heart because of the devastation of the temple, of the holy city, and the holy land with God's holy people. This, of course, we know happened in history,
right?
Because of Israel's unfaithfulness to God. So the psalmist here is pouring out his heart to God because he cares so much for God's interests on the earth. And eventually he speaks of a time when God would come in to rebuild what the enemies had devastated. Well, the history of Israel is really a picture of the history of the church.
Right.
We all know that through Christ's death to accomplish redemption and in his resurrection, the church came into being. So the church existed in the resurrection of Christ. But history tells us very clearly that after the church had existed for a time, it became degraded. Even the New Testament speaks of the degradation of the church. And history shows that this degradation continued. Now, God needs some faithful ones who are like this psalmist,
right,
who see the situation among God's people on the earth today. And in a sense, their heart is grieved to the core because of the situation that now exists. And they cry out to God for recovery, for a rebuilding or a recovery of the church according to God's original intention. So God needs a recovery on this earth because of the situation of devastation, of degradation in the church today. This recovery of the Lord will result in the building up of Zion, and that will bring in the next age, the age of restoration.
Mm. One point I'd like to make here. Here's the psalmist now, and in a sense, he is representing this line that Witness Lee refers to. God has a line. Therefore, in his eyes, all is not lost, all is not devastation, all is not finished, because God has this remnant willing to stand for his interests. And here's this psalmist standing very much in this line. But it's not that it was all for his benefit. In a sense, by virtue of ones like this psalmist standing for God's interest, it gave God a way to restore his house, his city, and the whole nation of Israel ultimately benefits, ultimately is restored. And the recovery today is in the same principle, isn't it?
Exactly. The recovery is not just for those who care for God's interests on the earth. The recovery is for all the people of God. When the church is built up through the Lord's recovery, all the children of God will be blessed and will be benefited.
And the nations of the earth will be turned back to the Lord.
And the response will be hallelujah.
Hallelujah is absolutely right. Well, what a vista today. And I really appreciate your help as always, Bob.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Chris.
Well, our time has expired for today. We hope you'll contact us to get the printed life study messages. We'll return as we continue on the home stretch now, this life study of the Book of Psalms. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening today.